This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
You know, several years ago, there was a movie that came out called The Village. And if you've never seen it, you need to see it. And number one, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and he's an incredible movie maker. But secondly, it's a movie about a group of people who live, I won't give away the whole story, but I'll just tell you this. They live in an alternate reality, and they have separated themselves from society, and they have their own set of truths and things that they're teaching their children. And one day, one girl who happens to be blind leaves the compound and steps into another reality. And that's all I'll tell you for right now, because you really need to watch the movie. There's so many incredible lessons from that movie and observations. But here's the point. The point of the whole movie is that you have an entire group of people that are living in a lie. They're living in an environment that is based upon something that isn't true. And they're trying to keep people from the real truth outside of their bubble, if you will. And I find that that is exactly what we are seeing going on today. And I want to talk to you for a little bit about just how Satan has hijacked our culture with his lies. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us who know the Lord and who know his word that he is the way he is and that he has done what he has done. And yet, not only are many Christians not recognizing what's happening right now in our world through Satan's lies and how this is ramping us up to revelation and how this is grooming us to receive the Antichrist. When I say us, I mean just humanity, because I don't believe we're going to be there during that time. But we are in an age that is being groomed to receive the man of sin. And Satan's doing it through his lies. But again, this should not be a surprise to us because of the nature, the character, and the activities of Satan from day one. And I just want to take you back for just a little bit, and we'll just see how far we get on this thing today, but take you back to Genesis chapter 3 for just a few minutes. And just to give you a quick heads up, what I'm about to share with you will not only help you personally in your own life, but will also help you in your parenting and protecting your children and providing for them an environment where they can grow up with clarity and confidence and spiritual reality. It'll help you with your coworkers at work and your friendship circles to be able to recognize Satan's subtle lies in the current culture that we find ourselves right now. But the reason I want to go back to Genesis is because it all began there. I mean, Satan, as soon as he was cast to the earth after attempting a coup on God's throne, he wanted to be God. We read about that in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And he wanted to ascend to the mountain and become like the Most High. He wanted to be God, okay? He's always wanted to be God. And when Satan inhabits the Antichrist, this will be the embodiment of that ancient dream and ambition of his, because he will be able to rule finally without hindrance over the earth during the tribulation period, and specifically in the last 3.5 years of that time. But it begins here in Genesis chapter 3, by trying to dominate and to gain influence over the very first couple, people, that God ever created. I mean, Adam and Eve were the crown of God's creation. They're way above the animal kingdom, okay? There's an almost infinite amount of difference between us and the animal kingdom. Jesus didn't die for animals. He didn't die for crocodiles. You know, the animal kingdom is there and was there originally as it tells us in Genesis, first couple of chapters, for man to dominate and to rule over. We were given dominion over the earth. We forfeited much of that when we fell. But Satan didn't care about the animals. He cared about the humans. And when I say care, I mean care to deceive. And I want to just make a couple of observations expositionally from Genesis chapter 3. And it says the serpent, verse 1, was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman. Now, let's just stop there and make an observation here. Is that serpents in those days had legs, all right? I guess like a lizard would today. And Satan inhabited the body of this animal and spoke through this snake, this serpent. We know that God spoke through Balaam's donkey. So we're entering into the supernatural realm here, which you know, was the earth in them before sin. It was much more supernatural because there was no sin and everything was God. Everything was supernatural. I mean, the fact that Adam was created out of dust, pretty supernatural. The fact that Eve was created out of one of the ribs of Adam, pretty supernatural. And so the serpent spoke to the woman and said, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Now, God had said that to them back in chapter 2, verse 15. He says, he put the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. God gave Adam something to do. He gave him a purpose. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, we don't see God giving that command to Eve, although presumably she knew about it, and Adam would have obviously communicated that to her as well, okay? Also, by the way, I find it interesting that it doesn't say that Eve was surprised that the serpent spoke. And you can infer, not authoritatively, but you can infer a couple of things from that. Number one is that, again, it was just in a realm of the super. You know, Eve had no idea what to expect because she was just created, right? And so these things that are happening to her, she'd have nothing to compare this with. She didn't think, well, you know, last year when we were here, no snakes spoke. I mean, no, she's just gotten there. And we don't know how long they were there, but not very long, because Satan surely would have taken his very first opportunity to tempt the man and the woman, not to wait and just to see how long they're going to obey God, or go ahead and let them have a few kids first. No, he went after them the very first thing. So the first thing that he does is that he implies a lie about God. When he asks, "Did God really say that? You should not eat from the tree of the garden?" Now, he says that to Eve, but God told it to Adam. So obviously, Eve would have known that from Adam, because Eve doesn't respond by saying, "What are you talking about? I don't know about any tree." No, she knew about it because the very next verse, the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat freely," according to chapter 2, verse 16. "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. You surely shall not die." Chapter 2, verse 17, God says, "From the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So Satan quotes God, but twists it to mean the exact opposite. He tells a lie about God. Now, why does he tell a lie about God? Well, because we read in John 8 and verse 44, where Jesus is having a conversation with the Jews there of his day, and he says in verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." And the reason that he said that is because they refused to listen to the truth that Jesus was sharing with them. You just read the context of John 18. Jesus is correcting their theology, and he's telling them the truth. And he says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Well, who's your father? Well, the devil. And he says of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. This is describing the essence of the original sinner, which is Satan. The fact that there is zero redeeming qualities about Satan. He has nothing good in him. There is nothing righteous. There is not even the smallest hint of holiness in him. He is pure evil. He can only think evil. He can only do evil. He can only hate. He can only lie. He can only murder. He can only deceive. And you and I have a problem with that, because we have a problem conceiving in our minds of a being that can't do anything remotely righteous. Because we look at humanity and we go, well, there's some really bad people out there, right? But we go, yeah, but you know what? They were a good father, or hey, he was a really good surgeon, or what a great actor he was. And so we try to find this good in people, which, by the way, as it relates to God, there is no good in people. Romans 3, 10 through 12. But Jesus is saying that the devil, there's no truth in him. And then he says this: whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But then Jesus says, but because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. Now, how incredibly backwards. Talk about alternate realities here. That you and I are living in a day where if someone speaks a lie, the world believes them. Think about how bizarre that is right now, that we're living in that kind of environment in the world right now. You can tell a lie, and people will absolutely just like flood their social media with your lie. But when you tell the truth, I'm talking about the truth from God, then people call you the liar. Why does that happen? Well, it happens because the Bible tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world. It tells us in 1 John 5, I believe it's verse 18 or 19, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Or the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. Jesus called him the ruler of the world. So he has deceived humanity today and the spirit of this age to where when you tell the lie, everyone believes the lie. Now, why is everyone believing the lie now? And they didn't believe that all these lies 50 years ago, like our parents' generation. How come our parents' generation was not as corrupt and depraved and debauched and just morally bankrupt as our generation is now? Why not? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Satan had not been able to permeate all of his deceptions into society, because some things were holding him back. Whoa, now we're getting into another principle here. Watch this. Culture, and I'm talking about American Judeo-Christian culture, for the most part, on the whole, generally speaking, backed up what the Bible says, the basic moral code of the Bible. Okay? Men are men, women are women, men don't marry men, men can't become women, homosexuals should not be legitimized by telling them that their marriages are a basic human right, the basic moral code of humanity was embedded in our cultures, embedded in our founding documents. And so culture backed us up. So you were in the vast minority. If you're a person that walked down Main Street in 1958 with a placard, with a sign that says, I just murdered my baby and I'm glad for it, or I'm shouting my abortion, or love is love, or you can marry three people if you want to, or get married to an animal if you want to, or think that you are an animal. And we get behind you and legitimize that. Or if you're a 58-year-old man and you think that you're a 10-year-old girl, we're going to applaud you for that. In fact, we're going to protect you. We're going to protect that thought there. Culture backed up Christianity back then. And the government backed up Christianity back then. Not that everyone in government was good. It's not saying that. It's talking about just the basic tenet, the infrastructure of our society and of our government backed it up. Well, Satan has chipped away at that little by infiltrating all of society. He's infiltrated media. He's infiltrated the news wires, the mainstream media. He's infiltrated education from the ground level all the way up to the university level. He's infiltrated the scientific community, everything. And people, because they're born without God and they don't become Christians and have their minds transformed by the Word of God and by the truth of God, what happens? Well, guess what? They're now duped by that same lie. So now the majority of people will believe the lie. And if you walk down Main Street with a placard that says Jesus is God, or marriage is between a man and a woman, or please don't kill your baby, you're going to be the one that's going to be ridiculed. In fact, you might get beaten up or killed if you do something like that. So can you see how Satan, he began with the first couple thinking, if I can deceive the first two people, I'm in charge of 100% of the human race. You see where he's going with this? And yet, Eve fell for it. And then Adam fell for it. And he deceived them right there in the garden. And so what's happened since then, and what happened exponentially since then, what happened up until the day when God opened the floodgates and flooded the earth and drowned billions of people because they were just so wicked, God himself couldn't stand it anymore. Up until that time, Satan unleashed an army of lies in humanity. And he didn't have to really persuade or twist the arms of many people because he worked in concert or in harmony with the sin nature that is within all of us. It's much easier to believe something that goes in concert with how you already feel. And we already feel angry or violent or lustful or jealous or covetous. You know, we already feel these things. And so Satan just plays upon those desires. And so he influenced the decisions of millions of people, and they began to believe the lies. But back to Genesis real quick before we wrap it up for this session here. The lie was a lie about God. See, A.W. Tozier, one of the great Christian writers of the 20th century, said this. He says, at the root of all sin is the suspicion that God is not good. That's at the root of all our sin. We suspect that God isn't really good. He's holding out on us. His way is not the best. It can't be the best because it's got to be something better. That is the first lie that Satan tells in the garden. He questions the Word of God. He questions the character of God. And then he lies. He just outright lies and just sees, I wonder if this will stick if I throw it in the wall. And it does. And it took root in the mind of Adam and his new wife. And they believed it. They believed it so much that they reached out and they took that fruit. After Satan had told them, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Because God knows that in the day you eat from it, verse 5, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And all of a sudden, the appeal to be your own God, the appeal to be like God, was so deliciously tempting that they said, we got to get us some of this. And so they did. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And by the way, that's what sin is. Sin is always a good temptation, quote unquote. Sin does never just say, hey, eat me and you'll die. No, sin always says, come on, man, jump in. The water's great. And so Satan begins his strategy to take down mankind and you, to take you down, with a lie about God. So my friend, think about this today. God is good, and Satan will do everything he can in his power to convince you otherwise. We'll follow up with that very thought on the next Vintage Truth podcast, Believe the Truth. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.